Amen.
Amen. Let's open to Ephesians 6 and verse 19 to get you started. Last week and this week are important two messages for this church. And if you weren't here, I'm going to do some review. Encourage you to get online and look at that. You know, when your pastor goes to a new place, a new level, I should share things with you. But also, if I go up, you'll go up. And that doesn't mean that your blessing is dependent upon me. That's not what I mean. But a pastor ought to take the congregation with him. And as the pastor prospers, I don't just mean financially. I mean in all areas of life, spiritually, financially, physically, and revelation in the Word. The church ought to go with him. And so I'll explain that in a second. But important two messages for this church, and I'm excited about it today. Let's pray before we get into it. Father, we love you so much. We mean that. Lord, I say that every time, but I know Caleb, he could tell me he loves me a million times. It never gets old. So, Father, I know it doesn't get old to you. And Father, I mean it, and I believe the people here mean it, that they love you, Father. We're in love with you, and we thank you for your Word. You're so kind to us to give us your Word to help us. Where would we be without it? Father, it was an act of mercy, an act of kindness that you left us with a roadmap. Left us with a manual that will take us to healing, a manual that will take us to prosperity, take us to peace, joy, protection, long life, Father, so many good things. Most importantly, to Jesus and salvation. We thank you for that. Father, speak through me this morning. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power here this morning. Lord, they don't need man's ideas, man's opinions, man's philosophies. We need the Word of God this morning. So Lord, have your way. Speak through me. Whatever you want to say, may it be said. Whatever you want to do, may it be done. And we'll make sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 19. And again, I'm going to do a little bit review, but I'm going to dive right into this and get going on this. It's an exciting time for all of us, and there's already been some changes that would be a blessing. But anyways, Ephesians 6:19. It says, and for me, this is Paul, he says, and for me. What's the and for me? Well, if you look in the verse before, he's talking about prayer. And then he says, and for me. So he's saying, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So we can see that here that the Apostle Paul's praying that when he would preach the word, it would be preached, or when he would speak the word, it would be spoken or preached with boldness. Amen. That tells us that's the will of God, because Paul wouldn't pray anything against the will of God. We won't turn there, but in Acts chapter 4, the disciples, after they were just threatened and, you know, given a hard time and harassed, they went back and said, Lord, grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. So again, another place where the Bible tells us that the will of God is that the word be spoken with boldness.
Amen.
Well, what's the reason that I bring that up to you? The reason I bring this up to you is because I had an awesome, maybe one of, I would say, top five experiences I've ever had with another minister and a minister ministering to me. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, when she was in town, ministered to me. And I wrote it down because I actually got corrected. I had to go back and look at it because I actually had misplaced some of the words, and it actually was better what she actually said and came from the Holy Ghost. But this is what she said to me when she ministered to me. And again, I'm bringing it up because y'all need to know this stuff, being that if you look at me as your pastor, but also to teach you some things about the Word to keep you safe. But this is what she said. She reached out and she grabbed my hands, and she said, a mantle of power. She said, now power belongs to all God's people. But sometimes, like she would pray in tongues and came forth in a word. She said, but sometimes there is a unique working of that power that's more notable. She said, so now, see, I thought she said there's coming upon you. But she said, so now there comes upon you a mantle of power. She said, if I could say it this way, you could be around Dr. Summerall, and he had that. Now, if you don't know who Dr. Summerall was, mighty, mighty, mighty man of faith. I mean, all over the world, spreading the message of faith. Probably wrote the best faith book I know of, which is going to be one of our books of the month called Faith Can Change Your World. I mean, this man went in and tore the devil up. We'll have a lot more examples of what he did over in the Philippines and in this country, and the things that he ran around with Brother Hagin and Smith Wigglesworth and ministers like that. Just a pop. But one of the things he's noted for was his boldness. I mean, he just was bold. But she said, mantle, so now comes upon you mantle power. If I could say this, you could be around Dr. Summerall. He had that. It was a mantle. It showed up in boldness. The mantle of power shows up, that's going to show up, is a mantle of boldness. And then she laid hands on me and she said, so boldness come upon you. Well, I've had people already say they've noticed a difference in this church and in the Olean church, that just there's something different. Well, I had sensed things were going to start to change around here and in the Olean churches and things that I'm a part of. I had sensed that before she had laid hands on me, and I had sensed some things needed to change in my life and going up higher and seeking God on some certain things and just and making sure that we get this thing done for Jesus. It's important. It's not a light thing. And people have already said you'd always seen that come to pass, but here's the reason I bring this up is because you are going to see a new level of boldness, not because I'm going to try to do it. It's just going to be there. And I didn't really notice it, but I had a guy come last night and say, just the last few weeks, it's just different. You know, and Jeff said the same thing. It's been different. And maybe you'll notice that. Maybe you won't. But I need to let you know, because with boldness, the word of God, the will of God is that the word be spoken with boldness. And sometimes boldness can be misconstrued as being mean. Sometimes boldness can be misconstrued as being not compassionate, not loving, and not caring, when in fact it's the exact opposite. And we need to make sure that we renew our mind, because if this mantle of power that's come upon me and it's going to show up in boldness, it's going to show up in the area of preaching the word with boldness. You know, it's not like I'm going to walk in front of a semi going 80 miles an hour and expect that thing to move around or stop me. That's not what she's talking about, the preaching and the teaching, the pastoring. And if people aren't aware of that, that's the way things are supposed to be, and that it benefits them for their pastor to be bold. Paul said, pray for me that I would be bold. He wouldn't pray something for himself that would not benefit the people. I used this example last week because sometimes people mistake boldness, because boldness can get up in your face. Boldness can step on your toes. Boldness can rub you the wrong way, or like we like to say here, pet your fur backwards or mow your grass sideways, right? Boldness just has a way to really get into some things. And if we mistake that as being unkind and not compassionate, my pastor doesn't care about me, that's a problem, because you'll be hindered from where you need to go with God. Because I have a job to be bold to you. I have a job to tell you like it is. And we used this example last week. You know, a cancer patient has specific medicine, specific treatments that patient needs to battle that disease. And a lot of times, you know, the sooner you find it, the better, and you get right on that and get some medicine in there or some different kind of treatment. The point is, you treat a cancer patient the way you go about the medical treatments to help them recover and get better is different than you would someone with a broken arm. Different things, right? Or someone with a cough, or somebody, you know, that has the flu. And we said it this way, you know, a doctor, when they get those tests, I can't imagine. Now, I know some doctors have some interesting bedside manners, but I can't imagine. To me, it would seem like most of them go into it to be a help to people, but I'm sure there's exceptions and everything. But I can't imagine it's fun to go tell a family, you got cancer, and if it doesn't take care of, you're not going to be here long, or you have this long. I can't imagine that's fun. But what's a doctor supposed to do when he gets a report? He gets a report on somebody and it says, boy, they got cancer, it's spreading, we got to do this treatment. And he sits there and he sees that, and the family's in the other room. And is he supposed to sit there and say, you know what, I really feel bad. If I go out there, it's going to change everything for them. It's going to cause them to probably cry. It's going to cause their children to get worried. It's going to cause their family to be terrified and scared. It could financially affect them. It could really hurt them in a lot of ways. So you know what? I know that there's something wrong, and I know how to treat that. But because I don't want to rub them the wrong way. I don't want to upset them. I don't want to step on their toes. I'm just going to withhold, and I'm going to go out there and give them a false report. That's cruelty. That's cruel. And as a pastor, things come up by the Holy Ghost. I'm in meetings with people one-on-one. People will tell me what's going on in their lives. And a lot of times, what people will tell me or people are going through, they're not doing the Word of God, and it's hurting them. And it's not what you're doing right that's hurting you. It's what you're doing wrong. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy, we won't go there. We went there last week, but for time's sake, it says that one of my jobs as a pastor is to rebuke, to reprove, and to correct people. And the Amplified says to point out and show them which way their lives are wrong. That's not the fun part of my job. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy conflict. I don't enjoy telling somebody you're doing it the wrong way. I don't enjoy that. But I have an obligation to Jesus to do that, because I got to stand before him someday. And if that cancer patient doesn't get told, that cancer patient's going to go down the wrong road And what could have possibly been stopped is now not stopped because of a lack of boldness. Same with a pastor with sheep. Certain things you see and there's a temptation, oh, just let it go. You don't want to step on toes. You want to try to keep seats filled. You don't want people to get offended. None of that no more.
Praise God.
I tell you, it's interesting since it's come upon me. I've had talks with people through text messages and helping them. And I can't even believe some of the things that come out of my mouth and I don't even feel lick bad for saying it because it's the absolute truth. Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. Not the fluff. Not beating around the bush. Not candy coating things. Now understand this. I'm always going to be sweet. I'm never going to, you know, it would be wrong to say, you idiots, and how could you do this, and what's wrong with you? You've been in church for this long. How dumb can you? That's not the way it's going to come off. But also, it's not my job to be concerned with how you receive the truth. My job is to report the truth. And I'll do it in an encouraging way, and I'll do it in a loving way, and in a way that to show you how to make changes and make correction. But we need to understand this. Because if we want to grow, we have to understand we are going to be corrected. Because, and it's going to come through the boldness and the teaching and preaching of the word. And if it's not received the right way, you won't get what God has for you. Let's just come to the realization right now and understand that you don't know it all, and neither do I. And that you're not perfect, and neither am I. And I'll make a deal with you. If you won't hold me to the standard of perfection, I won't hold you to the standard of perfection. It's amazing! A pastor will strive and strive with people. Put up with people, give them dirty looks, saying bad things through text message. Love on them and love on them. And the pastor, one time, might not get to somebody and say hello or look at them the wrong way, they thought. And to heck with him. Listen, I'm not holding you to perfection. Don't hold me to perfection. Amen?
Amen.
That was a side journey that we just needed to get out there. Hallelujah. But the truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. You know, if somebody's sick in body and the Holy Ghost reveals things to me about the way they're living, maybe the way they're eating, maybe they're just not taking care of themselves, and the Holy Ghost says it, and I don't say anything to them for fear of stepping on their toes, that's wrong. That's wrong. And then we're not talking about, we always use the term, drink the Kool-Aid. If you don't know what that means, Jim Jones, cult leader, you know, got everybody convinced. Drink this Kool-Aid. I don't know what he said would happen to them, but he didn't tell them that they would die, but they all drank it and they died. Yeah. We're not trying to blindly lead you off the cliff. What I'm talking about is leading you by the Word of God.
Amen.
Not coming and getting in your business and being lording over your life. I'm talking about correction and preaching of the Word of God.
God.
And the Word is meant to be a place of boldness. Now, you might say, this is a boring service. No, this is a service that prepares the ground for growth. Because some ground is a lot rockier than other ground.
Yeah.
Some people are just... And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't like this always, but I'm this way now. I'm fertile ground for correction. What do you mean by that? The first thing I say to my pastor when I get in the vehicle with him to go for a mentoring appointment, after I say, hey, pastor, how you doing? It's good to see you, is there anything in my life that needs to be corrected? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, some people will say things and not really mean, like really, I'm really meaning, point it out. I want to know, because if there is, that's what's hindering me. And I'll say that to him. Every single time. And when he corrects me, I don't get down.
Right.
I don't start kicking myself and get into self-condemnation and start boo-hooing or get offended and get ticked off and get mad at him. No, I say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. This is what's going wrong. Now we can fix it. Now we can fix it. Praise God. The truth will set you free. Hebrews chapter 12, finishing up the review here. Because you need to be fertile ground for when this boldness comes upon you in your life, whether it's through the preaching of the word, whether it's through an appointment one-on-one, whether it's through a text message, or if I hear, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if I hear you in conversation with me and you're not speaking faith, I'm going to point it out. Why? Because that's hurting you. Not because I'm trying to be Mr. Confession Cop and Mr. You know, everything point out. No, I love you that much. I love you that much. That's why I'll do it. Hebrews 12 and verse 5 says this. We need to renew our minds to correction in the Word of God. It says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? He said, my son, despise not the chastening or the correction of the Lord, nor faint or give up, which I've seen people do. They get corrected by the Word, boom, they're gone. They lay it all down. Nor faint or give up when you're rebuked of him. Bible says, despise not the correction or chastening of the Lord. Why? Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects and scourges every son whom he receives. How does correction come? Well, we need to know it comes through the preaching of the word. It could come through a counseling session, or it can come when you're just doing something and the Holy Ghost says, corrects you on something. That's interesting, Lord. It didn't come out last night, and I don't know why the Lord's telling me to say this, but I'm going to just follow the trail down the road and see where it goes. One time, talking about correction in my heart, I was walking by our old house where I had the route that I would walk Wrigley on. And it went by some softball fields. And I'm just telling you the truth, I was very successful in baseball. I mean, I just really was very successful growing up. It just it was a natural thing, and I worked hard at it. But other things I'm not so good at, but that was one thing I was good at. And I remember walking by that field, and there were some guys out there, and it was early spring, so you knew they were getting ready for their, I don't know if it was church softball or rec league or whatever it was. And there was a group of guys, and they were talking about needing a shortstop. Now, that's the position I played, and you know, I wasn't even going to play or anything. I don't have time for that. But I walked by, and this thought came in my head, and I started to entertain it for about 5 seconds. I walked by, I said, they'll never find a shortstop like me. That's what came in my head. And the Holy Ghost said to me, I'm just being honest with you. The Holy Ghost said to me, you prideful thing, you. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. Be careful with pride. How wonderful I am. Oh, look at me. I want the world to see me. I want the world to see what I'm about. Be careful with self-admiration and always admiring yourself. Always thinking maybe it's a talent, maybe it's a skill, maybe it's your body, I don't know, but be careful. The Bible says one of the things the Lord hates is pride. It's the very thing that got the devil kicked out of heaven. I don't know why I'm saying this. I didn't say it last night, but the Lord just brought that story up, so I went with it. Be careful with pride. And I knew right there, get that out. Now, you might think that's harmless. No, because once those things get in there, the devil can start working on it. One of the things, if you look at the devil, he talked about the beauty of himself. He got so enamored with how he looked. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. Be careful. You know, I'm amazed. I'm just going to keep going on this rabbit trail that, you know, you think of some people that are models and stuff, and I'm not saying that that's wrong. Now, there's a lot that dress very inappropriately. Let me tell you something, one thing. If you cause somebody else to sin by how you're dressing and inappropriate and being and causing someone to lust, that's your fault. That's something you're going to be judged for. Now, again, if you're, you know, dressing appropriately and not showing the world everything you got and they lust, that's their bad. Right. But I'm amazed at these, whether it's, you know, really getting in the ditch on pornography or whether it's just like these swimsuit issues. I'm amazed. What pride must somebody have in themselves to say, I'm going to take off. My body's so good. I want the world to see me. You must really think a lot of yourself, right? Now, this isn't just for, I'm talking about a trade you might be good at, a skill you might be good at, things you might be good at. For me, it was, I don't have that problem when I take my shirt off or I don't have that problem. My problem was the baseball thing. I walked by and thought I was it. Be careful. I don't know why the Holy Ghost is saying it, but be careful. Whatever it is, maybe you're really good at your job, maybe you're really good at drawing, anything that could get you to think, wow, I'm something special. That's a problem, okay? So there, I obeyed Jesus. I don't know why he said it. Didn't come out last night, came out today, praise. Some other things came out last night that maybe won't come out today. I don't know. We're just following the Holy Ghost. But he says, whoever the Lord corrects, he loves. He's just correcting you because he loves you, see? And when you renew your mind to that, when correction comes, now maybe that was correction for somebody. I don't know. I was just telling a story. Maybe he just wanted to be entertained. I don't know. You know. You know what you're dealing with. And when I would get correction by the word, or he gives me correction, I don't walk back to my house thinking, geez, Holy Ghost, that was mean. I say, no, I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved, glory to God. When my pastor, I told you one time, I was at a meeting, and I was going on and on about her. I mean, I had a laundry list, just thinking, oh, he's going to call her in and read her the right act. And he pointed at me and said, Pastor Mike, that's the most selfish thing I've ever heard come out of someone's mouth. Oh, actually, I take that back. He might have said one of the most selfish things. I don't think I actually topped the whole list, but I was close. He said that to me, and boy, that was a heavy blow at first. Why? Well, what does the word say in go down to verse 11. It says, no correction for the present time seems to be joyous. We don't like to be told we're wrong. We don't like to be told you need to change this. Does anybody like really just enjoy being knowing that you're wrong? I don't. And when he said that to me, I was like, whoa. One of the most selfish things that man's ever heard. He's had some doozies sit across from him. And I'm in one of the most selfish ever categories. But he was right.
Yeah.
And I walked out of that meeting. I said, I'm loved.
Yeah.
And when I would sit in service and the Lord would correct things and get things out of my life,
yeah,
I'm loved. Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm not offended. I'm not ticked off about it. I'm not putting on a pout show. Listen, be careful how you receive correction. Oh, why do we even have notes? I don't know. Caleb yesterday, I'm mowing the lawn, and underneath our deck, we have this tarp. I'm not even sure why it's under there. Someone probably could explain it to me, but there's a little tarp, and some of it sticks out, and sometimes when I mow, I forget, and it mows, and it shoots it out into the grass. And he was outside, and I said, he came outside while I'm mowing, and I didn't want to stop to pick it all up. I said, buddy, come here. I turned him off. I said, I want you to pick up all this plastic, and I want you to throw it in the garbage. Okay, daddy. So I'm mowing, and I look back at him, and he's taking piles of that stuff and throwing it in the woods. And I was like, that's not what we talked about. So I went over to him. I said, buddy, I said, where did I tell you to throw that? He said, in the garbage. I said, why are you throwing it in the woods? I don't know. And he got the pout look on his face. I said, no. I said, wipe that off your face right now. I said, you're going to learn. Listen, the Bible says don't withhold discipline from a child for their crying. You know what some kids do? They kick and scream so loud before you punish them. Why? To get you to back off. Faustus, I said, no, buddy. That's not how you receive correction. I said, daddy's not mad at you. It's not the end of the world. I told you to put it in the garbage. Now put it in the garbage and don't stand there with that sad face and try to make me feel bad about this. And I said, wipe it off and give me a smile. And he wiped it off and gave me a smile. I said, now where are you going to put that? The garbage. I said, all right, buddy. Love you. Love you, dad. Walked away. But kids will, I mean, you should see Caleb when we get ready to spank him. Well, the Bible talks about spanking. It doesn't talk about beating, you know, hurting your... We don't hurt our kids. But I spank him when he does something wrong. Follow the word of God. But you should see, you would think that the last time we spanked him, that we used baseball bats and hot irons. Because that kid will kick and scream and make the most commotion ever. And then when we spank him, it's like the crying stops because it's not even near as... Doesn't it happen? But he tries every time to get us to back off. Listen, don't be a person that makes it so your pastor has to walk on eggshells around you. That, oh, if I say anything to him, it's going to send him in this downward spiral of self-condemnation and judgment. Or if I say anything to him, they're going to get ticked off and mad and offended and kick and scream and cause a fuss. Start back-talking about the pastor. Start spreading rumors about this and that. Don't be that way. You want somebody to be able to speak into your life. Because it's not joyous at the time, but afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised. If you'll endure the chastening and correction, you'll grow and you'll get better. You'll grow and you'll get better. Amen. Well, that was my review, I guess. Hallelujah. But we'll get into this. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, again, we're renewing our minds to the fact that this is the way it is, that it's okay, that when you come to church, you ought to be corrected, you ought to be helped. The Holy Ghost ought to be able to speak to your life. The pastor ought to be able to say, listen, I see this in your life, it's hurting you, and this is why it's hurting you. The way you talk, the way you are towards your spouse, the way you are this, the way you're that. I ought to be able to do that, and you trust that I love you enough. I would hope that people would see the sincerity of my life. I'm not in this for the money. Let me just tell you, I'm not in this for the money. Working a natural job could have made way more than I'm making now. In fact, I left all money to come here to pastor for free. I am only in this because I want to be obedient to Him, and I love people. I love people. I love seeing people helped and blessed. So I would hope that you'd understand, Pastor Mike's not a meanie. Pastor Mike loves me enough to tell me. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's what we need to understand. Today's message, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's just starting now. Don't worry, there's not. We always get you out of here at a good time. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, everybody said the Word. The Word was with God. Now notice this. And the Word was God. The Word is God. This isn't some book, people. See, some people, the way they do their devotions is, how many chapters can I get in tonight and just read right through it real fast? God is not impressed with how many chapters of the Bible you read. You reading the Bible does nothing for God.
Right.
There's sometimes I'll spend 2 hours on one verse, just meditating, soaking it up. Why? My goal isn't to get through it as fast as I can.
Sure.
This is a love letter from Him to me. And there's certain things that are so special in here that I can't get off of. And I stay on there. And when I open this up, this is God Almighty. Now, not the book, not the pages. Man, we could throw these away and set this on fire. We're not talking about that. The content, the anointing of what's in this book. The Word was God. So number one, when correction comes through the Word of God, it's God Almighty. Now go to verse 14 real quick. Verse 14. Hallelujah. I was thinking about that baseball story, and I was like, I'm thinking, man, Lord, why do you always use stories of my idioticness to help people? I don't know, maybe because it makes me more human. I don't know, because people, I think pastors at times just, they got all their ducks in a row and they're perfect. Listen, I've never claimed that. I've never claimed that. I used to think that about people, but I've found out that pastors are just men and women as well. I got to believe God the same way you do. I have to keep my eyes on the right thing. I have to talk, make sure the good things come out of my mouth. I have to make sure that my life goes where it needs to go just as much as you do. And so maybe that's why He always has me tell about all the stupid things I've done. Man, we could just be here all week talking about stupid things I've done. I mean that. It's true. He's good. He's merciful, though. He's patient with me. It says in verse 14, and the Word, remember the Word was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What's He talking about? Jesus. The Word of God became a man. Jesus. All Jesus is a visible representation of who God is. Now, the Bible says that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are separate yet one. Now, I know that's hard for your natural mind to comprehend, but it's true. The Holy Ghost is the same, just as much God as Jesus is God. God is just as much God as Jesus and the Holy Ghost are. And so, the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this will help us when we renew our minds. When correction comes through the boldness of the preaching of the Word, and it pets your fur backwards, and it mows your grass sideways, and it's tempting to get you mad and upset and belligerent. Remember, when you get offended at the Word, you're just getting offended at Jesus.
That's right.
Because He is the Word. That changes things.
Yeah.
He is the Word of God.
That's good.
He is Malachi 3 in verse 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. People get mad about preaching on that. He's just as much that Word as He is God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's just as much, love your enemies.
Yes.
Forgive anybody if they have anything against you. I mean, I'll tell you, people fight me on that.
Yeah.
Pastor, but, stop with the buts. Get your rear end out of it.
Yeah.
Take the but out of the way.
Yeah.
And because people say, but you don't understand. I'm just telling you what the Word says. If you'll forgive them, you'll be blessed.
Yeah.
I'm not belittling what you're going through, but people fight with the tithing message. People fight. I'm just reporting what Jesus said in His Word.
Right.
And if you get offended at the Word, you're just getting offended at Jesus. It's interesting. Didn't He tell the disciples, if you go and you preach the gospel to them and they receive you not, what did he say? Wipe the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. They're not worthy of it. They're not worthy of it. Yeah. Jesus was bold. Paul was getting ready to take up an offering and he said, listen, I want to remind you before you do it, make sure you're not a cheapskate. That's bold. Not this, oh, just give what you want. Just, you know, just reach in and put a little tip in for God. No, because He knew your harvest depended on how much you gave. So He was bold enough to say, give big.
Yes.
Give big.
Yeah.
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 Hallelujah. That's why I can sit there across from somebody that's been so wronged in life by another human being. I mean, some of the things that I hear just bring me to tears that people have had to endure from other human beings. And I can say, you need to forgive them. Because it'll bring freedom to you, but your faith will start to work again.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to tell them you're wrong. What they did was right, and you know that you should that we're giving them a free pass here. No, I'm just telling you what you need to do for you to be blessed.
Yeah.
But people argue all the time with the Word of God. So we're talking today about guarding against offense of the Word. Jesus warned about getting offended at the Word. If you get offended at the Word, it'll cut off the Word from being able to come into your life. Let me show you this. Matthew chapter 3. In verse 1. Now you might say, oh my gosh, what's coming down the road for us? The pastor's getting us ready for something real big. And you might not even ever notice the difference, but I've noticed a change in myself. That just I've come to this revelation that the only thing that truly Now listen, there's programs and there's different things for people. I understand that, and those things are helpful, but nothing trumps the Word of God. Nothing is as perfect as God's Word. Nothing can get in and completely fix things and wipe out things like the Word of God can. And I'm coming to the realization that I'm going to just preach the Word. I'm not going to worry about who comes back. I'm not going to worry about what the offerings look like. I'm not going to worry about what people are saying about me. I'm going to make it so when I stand before Jesus, He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yeah, that's just what I've come to that realization. And some people are going to grow and go higher, and some people might fall away if you don't receive it right. And I don't want that to happen because I love people, but that's why we're preparing the ground and showing you what does it look like to be a good receiver. Sure. That you have to learn to be a good receiver because correction will come. I know, really a fun message today, isn't it? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're here? Matthew 3, in verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now drop down to verse 13. "Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." So Jesus shows up on the scene now to get baptized by John the Baptist. Verse 14. "John forbade him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me.'" Basically, John saying, "I'm not baptizing you. You ought to be baptizing me." What a heavy moment for John. The Son of God, he's in the wilderness preaching, preparing the way for this guy, and this guy comes and says, "Baptize me." And John's like, "Uh-uh." Right. I'll tell you an interesting story because I'm going to brag on the sweetness of your pastor. So you understand that not everybody gets it as sweet as this. My pastor, Pastor Michael, stands in three offices, the prophet, the apostle, and the pastor. And the pastor, self-admittedly, that he'll say, is the weakest of all his gifts. That the apostle is number one, and then the prophet. Now, if you're around apostles and prophets, they're different breeds of people. They are different individuals. They don't have that natural tendency to want to be as loving and as an ushy and gushy. My pastor has to really try to put that on. And with me, he doesn't just even try it anymore. Just tell me like it is. But when that pastoral anointing's on him on Sunday, it's easier for him to do that. But when that prophetic anointing comes on him, or that apostolic anointing comes on him, it's just, you look at prophets and things of the Old Testament, they're different people, different cats, you could say. Well, anyways, I heard him say from the pulpit, and this was my John the Baptist moment, where Jesus came and wanted to be baptized, and John said, "No, I heard my pastor say one time from the pulpit recently that I need Pastor Mike Anderson to lay hands on me to give me some of the sweetness that he has to put on my life." And I said, I mean, first of all, it blew me away, but second of all, I was like, "I'm not laying hands on you." No, God forbid I ever think of speaking anything into your life or laying hands on you. Of course, if he said, "Pastor Mike, lay hands on me," you know. But you have it sweet here. I love you. I care about you. And when I talk to you, listen, I'm going to tell you there's a better way, and there's hope for you and things like that. So that was my John the Baptist moment. You have a sweet pastor. Praise God. I better be careful. I'm getting prideful. I got to get more mean now. But anyways, "And Jesus said unto him, 'Allow it be for now,'" or "suffer it be for now, 'for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness.'" Then he allowed him. So John the Baptist then allows Jesus to be baptized by himself, by John the Baptist. And Jesus, when he was baptized, notice this. So John's doing the baptism. John's the one with his hands on Jesus, dunking him under the water, pulling him back up. So was John there? John was physically on the scene, wasn't he?
Yes.
"And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him." This wasn't a normal baptism. "And he," Jesus, or I mean John the Baptist, "saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him," upon Jesus. So John baptized Jesus, he comes up out of the water, and the heavens open. And a dove comes out of the heaven in the form of the Spirit of God and descends on Jesus and lights him up. Verse 17, "And lo, a voice," man, if we had baptisms like this, man, we could charge money. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.'" I'm going to get to why I'm bringing this up to you. So the heavens open, the Spirit of God comes out, descends on Jesus like a dove, and he hears a voice from heaven confirming in forever and eternity saying, "This is the guy. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." John witnessed that, didn't he? Well, let's flip over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. John had the word of God.
Yes.
That this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He saw that Spirit come out of heaven. He was the one preaching the way for Jesus. Verse 11, and when it came to pass when Jesus had made, or chapter 11, verse 1, Matthew 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, the same John the Baptist, we're in verse 2. When John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So now John's situation has changed. John, when he's out preaching and baptizing Jesus, now finds himself in prison. And we know, we read the story, he ends up getting beheaded and becoming a martyr for Christ. But now he's in prison. Now let me ask you this. Is that a test or a trial?
Oh, yeah.
Is that something changing? I mean, is that affliction and pressure and persecution? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been in jail. I know. It's not fun. It's not fun to be behind bars and not be able to go anywhere. You say, well, I didn't know he was. What did he do? Now come talk to me sometime. I'll tell you. I didn't kill anyone. Praise God. I'm just going to keep you guessing now. I could tell you the story, but why? I want to know what everyone's thinking. Picture this now. I had the green jumpsuit on, sliding my food under the door to me. I know what it's like to be there. It's not fun, and we have regulations nowadays where, I mean, you get cable TV, the food's good, they got to treat you right. Back then, they didn't have that stuff. You study the prisons back then and like the prisons that Paul went to. So we know John the Baptist is in a living hell on earth.
Right.
He's in a living hell on earth. And he's in a trial now. And look what he said. When John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to do what? And said unto him, to Jesus, he sent two of his disciples to say to Jesus, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? How all of a sudden, what changed, John? You saw the Spirit come out of heaven.
Right.
You saw it descend on Jesus and light him up. You heard the voice saying, this is him.
Yes.
But now, tests and trials arise, and John starts questioning the Word of God.
Yeah.
I told you about the family that said they left the church because I had mentioned church attendance, and I looked at them. And the Holy Ghost said on the phone, that's not why they left. They left because of the tithing message. Now, let me back up a second. This was a family that had been with me over a year, had a full family. And I can't tell you, I got letters from everybody in the family, letters, and praise all the time. You've changed my kids. My kids are doing good in school now. This, that, and the other thing, telling me how, never upset about the tithing message. And the Holy Ghost said they're mad about the tithing message. So I called him right on the phone. I said, you didn't leave because I said that. I said, I talk about church attendance all the time. I said, you're mad because I talk about tithing all the time. I said, yep, you're right. I said, going through a financial test and trial, are you? Yeah, it's terrible. Well, what happened was they start going through a financial test and trial, and now they start getting offended at the bring 10% because they don't want to have to bring 10% in the midst of their financial test and trial. And let me just say this by the Holy Spirit that'll help you. When you're going through a financial test and pressure, that is not the time to pull back your giving. That is the time to press forward and sow seed. I know people don't want to hear it. We sow to get out of things all the time. We stretch ourselves. If we're going through a trial and test, we sow big. Why? Because we know big harvest is coming. And I like big harvest. I like big harvest. But what happened? All of a sudden now, you know me, I talk about tithing every single week. And a lot of times it comes up in the messages because it's that important. But you know every single week I talk about it. And they heard it every single week and were never upset about it until financial trial came their way. And now the tithing message is something that rubs them the wrong way. It didn't bother them for a whole year when I was the best thing on earth, still talking about the same things. It's amazing. Let me help you here. Go back and listen to all our archives. Jeff and Michelle have a lot of CDs. You want to hear CDs from like the first couple weeks we ever preached? Go back and listen to them. You won't hear a darn thing different.
Right. Yeah.
I've never changed. Why? The manual stays the same.
Amen. Yeah.
I have a John Deere lawnmower, and I take the deck off, sharpen the blades, and clean the grass out from underneath it. And I'm not very mechanically inclined, so I need that manual to find step 1, 2, 3. You'd think by now I just would know what to do, but I don't. I still look at the manual, do this, take it off, whatever I need to do to put it back together. The steps never change.
Right. That's right.
They're always the same, whether I like them or not. The steps are always the same. Go back and listen to messages, because I'm amazed at people that have uprooted, that have all of a sudden got angry and mad at me, who used to just worship me. I mean, hug me with tears of how their family's changed, and I love you, and it's the best thing ever, and my business has changed, my family's this, my family's on fire. And then the Word of God comes, and again, mows their grass sideways, steps on their toes, gets up in their face, and they don't like it. And they get mad. I told you about the man that treating his family bad. And 2 weeks prior, he said, listen, if you ever see anything wrong in my life, tell me. Well, I saw something majorly out of order. His idea of being a husband was dominate. Woman, you're going to listen to what I say, and you're going to do what I say, and kids, you're going to follow too. Oh, I could tell you some things in secret. I wouldn't. That the kids told me about their dad and driving them away. I mean, the things that I'm privy to at times will blow your mind away. That, and it's, you're going to do it my way, woman. It's my way or the highway. That's not the way God told a husband to treat a wife, to love her like Christ loved the church. And he didn't like that. He said, no, I am meant to rule over her. Buddy, you have problems. Your wife is scared to death of you. She might not tell you that, but I know. She's scared to death of you. And she knows there's nowhere she can go, and so she'll stay with you. How do I know? They tell me things. And here, this person is texting me all the time, loving on me, blessing me. I'm not kidding you. Handing me wads of money. One time was $800. One time was over 1,000. Telling me you're the best thing ever happened, ever. And I say one thing in the Word of God, how you're to love her like Jesus and sacrifice. And I went from hero to zero in a matter of seconds. I'm not kidding you. Hero to zero. What happened? The Word. I've not changed anything. I will not change. I only know to preach this. I'm not smart enough to stand up here and tell you anything but copy what that Bible says. It'll never be any different. I've preached the same message 4 years ago. It'll always circulate the same thing. Why? The manual doesn't change. And I'm not going to change. I'm not going to. I don't know how. I don't know what to say. I have a family. I have kids. I have finances. I have a health. I have 2 churches. I got to be right. But John the Baptist, see, it can happen to the best of us. John now has a trial. The Word said, this is the one. Now John's saying, I don't know. Oh, tithing was the one when things were going good, but now things, you're having a little bit of a test and trial, but I'm not so sure if tithing's the way. I won't preach anything different. I don't care if it clears out the whole place and I'm preaching to myself. I don't care. I'm going to stand before him. From the front to the back page, I told him, I'll preach it all. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah. The tithing message was the power of God unto my finances. The giving message, the love walk message, the faith message. I won't back off from these things.
Hallelujah.
Fluff won't help people.
Amen.
All fluff does is make your sugar go high and rot your teeth out.
Yeah.
That's all fluff does. So now John is questioning, do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said, verse 4, go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6, now Jesus is going to locate John, verse 6. And blessed, you know what that says in the Amplified? Happy. Fortunate to be envied, whoever shall not be offended in me. Who's he? He's the Word. When you don't get offended by the Word and you let the Word come in and change those things and you understand, I don't know it all and I need help, and the pastor sometime will preach something or he'll sit down with me and he'll point out things that he has to do by the Word of God, and you'll realize, wow, if I'll receive those, I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed by the Word of God. The Amplified says, blessed, happy, fortunate, envied is he who takes no offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth.
Amen.
That's a blessed person.
Yes.
That's a blessed person. Mark chapter 4 and verse 16. Mark 4 and verse 16. The Bible says to count it joy when various tests and trials. There's lots of different tests and trials. A financial thing can be a test or trial. A physical thing can be a test or trial. If your pastor points something out to you, that can all of a sudden become a trial. a trial of not thinking bad about your pastor, a trial of recognizing I am wrong and the word says to do this and fixing it. But whatever the point is, the trials are different, but this is what I want to show you concerning trials. Verse 16, and these are likewise who are sown on stony ground. Now, talking about the word being sown on stony ground. Now, we can have the best seed in the world and go out and sprinkle it on the stones outside, and we can't expect a harvest, right? So we don't want to be stony ground. These are those that are sown on stony ground who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, verse 17, and they endure for a time. Oh, that's what I've seen with those people. The tithing message, for a time, they endured. For a time, I was the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, you'd be amazed at some of the things they're told me. I mean, you have to really be careful not to get a big head.
Yeah.
Just praising you like, and I have to tell them, listen, it ain't me. It's just the word. It's just Jesus. I mean, I told you about the time I was with Pastor Tim Woodchuck hunting, and I got a text from one of those people. And I said, you got to check this out. He looked at me and said, send that guy to my church. Because it was, Pastor, you're wonderful, this, that, and the other thing. Tell him the word. Treat your wife different. You're treating her wrong. Your family's afraid of you. Instead of being, wow, you know what? I see that. I'm wrong. That's not what the word says to do. It's get away from me and you don't come around here anymore. Oh, I'm telling you, it was naturally, if you didn't have faith, it was a scary situation for me. They have no root in themselves and they endure for the time. Now notice this. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises. You ever had it just arise for you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're tithing faithfully. You're confessing faithfully. You're doing what you need to do. And then all hell breaks loose. Why? It arises for the word's sake. To try to take the word, immediately they are offended. That's stony ground people.
Yeah.
That when a test or trial comes, you get offended and get mad, just like John the Baptist did. I'm John the Baptist. I'm preaching the word. I baptized Jesus. And now I'm in prison. Maybe this whole thing isn't all cracked up as it's meant to be. Or maybe it's a little different than what I thought. No, he just got in trial and got offended.
Sure.
Nothing changed.
Right.
The message didn't change. John changed.
John
changed.
Yeah.
When you don't receive the word, that's not a me issue, that's a you issue.
That's right. Amen.
I love when people say, well, Pastor, you said that. You knew I was going through it, and you looked right at me. And I say, well, didn't mean to look at you, but if I did, you just admitted you're doing that. So isn't the main problem not me looking at you? It's fix the problem. So when I look at you, you can say, you ain't talking about me.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that people blame anything. Start taking some personal responsibility for yourself and the things you're doing wrong. Instead of, oh, pastor's pointing me out. Listen, I've never called anybody out by name and said, oh, you know, Precious. I don't even know anything bad I could say about her, so that's why I used her. But, oh, you know, Precious this and that, you know.
Yeah. Good word.
Now, if you were pro PETA, you might have a lot against her. Anti-hunting, but we're not anti-hunting in this church, people. And just keep your opinions to yourself, right? Hallelujah. But anyways, I want to close with these last two scriptures. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I love you so much, we're exposing the devil and what he does. See, the devil's not afraid to be bold. He'll come right in and rob from you and not even care. He'll come right in and lie to you. How bold of him to come to Adam and Eve when God said to them, don't eat from the tree. And he came in and said, you can eat it. That's bold. Don't listen to God. And actually, if you eat from the tree, you won't die, but you'll become like a God. He said, it's going to be better if you do it my way. That's boldness. He's not afraid to be bold, so I'm not going to be afraid to be bold. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaks. Everybody say now.
Now.
You know what now means? Right now. The Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now, you might think, well, I wouldn't want to be around when that happens. Well, let me tell you something. You are in the latter times. How did we know that? Well, 2,000 years ago when the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost, people were standing around saying, are these drunk people? And Peter stood up and said, these aren't drunk as you suppose. See, it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He said the day the Holy Ghost was poured out, Peter said, that was the beginning of the last days.
Yes.
That was 2,000 years ago, people.
Yeah.
How much closer are we to the end?
Oh, yeah.
If he said those were the end days, and we're 2,000 years forward, we are on the verge.
Amen.
We are on the verge. So we are in the latter times. He says, some shall depart from the faith. I've seen it. I've had people that I had an interesting experience. This was early on in the church, in a midweek service. The Lord told me, every time I would prophesy over certain people, it would always be about finances, and they were so blessed. And I started laughing in the service because I had called these people up. And I started laughing in the service. I said, I got to tell you, all I see in the spirit is dollar signs over you. And that set them into a laughing fit. And I'm wondering, what are they laughing about now? And they said, this is what they said to me. Pastor, they said this out loud in a service. Pastor, when we obeyed God to come and serve you in South Dayton and started doing the word that you teach us by faith, this is what they're saying. We can't tell you how our finances, and she said, we're laughing because we don't know what to do with all the money we're getting. That's a bad problem to have, isn't it? But the point was, they attributed the change to the obedience that God told them to come here. And a time later, I get a phone call from the same person that testified in one of my services telling me that everything I'm preaching is a lie. That I don't believe a word you're saying. And then went in and say, I don't believe what Pastor Tim said. I don't believe what Kenneth Hagin said. I don't believe what Dr. Dufresne, Reverend Randy Greer. Went right down the list of all the people, throwing them under the bus. The same person. Now, the message didn't change. The same thing I preach is going to be the same thing you're always going to hear. What happened? Some shall depart from the faith, how? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's doctrines of devils being taught out there. There's a doctrine of a devil being taught right now in the body of Christ that's sweeping the body of Christ, that's causing churches to raise up and to get hundreds of people within a few days. It's called the grace doctrine. The doctrine that tells people, live however you want, you're forgiven. I'll tell you, people want to hear that because they flock. Oh, I can. That justifies all the sin in your life then. Oh, I can keep, because the Bible does say that sin is pleasurable. It is for a season, but then there's payback. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Oh, it's fun. You'll enjoy it. Your flesh will have a good old time. But there's a reaping. And that doctrine, the grace doctrine's out there. Do whatever you want. The doctrine that you don't need a pastor. I'm telling you, these things, doctrines of devils. What's a doctrine of devil? Anything that's teaching contrary to the word of God. They give heed to seducing spirits. What does a seducing spirit come in? Tells them all sorts of things. You know, this isn't working. This message and isn't that tells you, well, how did the devil work on Adam and Eve? Seducing spirit. Came in and said, you don't have to listen to God. You don't have to listen to him. Don't do it his way. Do it your way. Gets them to depart. And I'll tell you what, they paid a price, didn't they? We're still paying a price for the mistake they made. Yeah. And be nice to them when you see them in heaven. I believe they're in heaven. Don't hold it against them. Be loving. How you doing, Adam? And just walk away. Don't even say anything more. You're going to want to say a whole lot. Just leave it there and let the guy off the hook. He's been dealing with this for a long time, right? Hallelujah. Why? They give heed to it. They give heed to it. They give heed to it. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, any thought that you get, anything you hear that is contrary to the word of God, it is a doctrine of devil and it's a seducing spirit attempting to pull you away. And here's how you know that Pastor Mike's not trying to get you to drink the Kool-Aid. Because people have said, you're just saying that to keep us in your church. If I'm not preaching the word, you could say that.
Right.
How do you know when you're safe? Well, is he sticking with the Bible?
Right.
Because let's face it, there's been people in churches and in ministries that have steered people the wrong way, have really hurt people, have led them right into death at times.
Right.
How do you know you're safe? Stick with the Bible.
Amen.
Stick with the word.
Yeah.
The faith message never changes.
Right.
Never
right.
changes, ever.
Right.
It's always the same. Speaking, confessing it, being positive. Speaking the word, forgiving, walking in love. It's really the gist of everything that we're talking about here. But notice that this happens. And I'll tell you what. When I got that in my heart, it helped me. Because I'll tell you what, you're heartbroken when people... I'm always amazed that people tell you they love you for years. And then they disappear and they don't even say goodbye. Like to me, I'm like, am I just a being or am I a real human being? I really have feelings as well, you know? And I'm thinking, man, I would never... Somebody that I love, just abandon them all of a sudden and be gone. I would at least have the common courtesy to talk to them, to tell them what's up, how they're feeling. But it's amazing. It's amazing. But it helped me Because I'll say to the Lord, man, Lord, I can't change the message. I don't know what else to say. This is what will help people. And he always reminds me, Jesus didn't have the biggest church around. Multitudes left him. And he didn't care. He didn't try to struggle to fill the seats and beg them to come back. And you know what I found? And I'm not talking to any of you because you're all here. Sometimes the people that fall away, you'll be surprised, they're the people that I've given the most time and attention to. We've talked about this. The people that I have to constantly try to get them to come back to church are the ones, they're not worth it. They won't stick around anyways. I don't mean they're not worth it as people, but it's not worth the energy. They're the ones that don't want the word anyways. I'm not talking about, and please don't get in the ditch of I need to talk to Pastor Mike about something or meet with him. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about the people that, you know, I don't see him for 5-6 weeks and call him and try to talk him, come back in, tell him all this thing. The people I give the most time and attention to that way are the ones that yield the least amount of, because why? You're naturally trying to get people instead of doing it by the Spirit. Listen, I'll preach the word and let God grow the church.
Amen.
That's his job. My job is not to grow the church. My job is to preach the word and to live right and things like that. But when we'll close with this scripture, Psalm 119, and we're going to be done. Psalm 119. I'm just getting you ready, this new boldness. We're going to a new level, people. A new level of blessing, a new level of revelation.
Hallelujah.
We're not going to hold back. Psalm 119, verse 165. 119 and verse 165. A lot of verses in this chapter. Great peace. Isn't that what we strive for?
Yes.
Great peace means the absence of fear, the absence of lack, the absence of sickness, the absence... Listen, there's not many people who are sick in body that have much peace. Right? I mean, there just really isn't. There's not much people that can't pay their bills and put food on their table that are living in much peace. Great peace is what we want. No depression, no fear, no anxiety, no worry. Have they which love thy law. What's the law? The word of God. People that are lovers of the word have great peace. And nothing will offend them. If you're a lover of the word, I can come to you and say, you're treating your spouse wrong. Here's why in the Bible. And you'll say, you're right. I want to be different.
Yeah,
or talking to somebody, you're not being honorable to your boss or your parents by what you're telling me. And this is what the word says. And you'd say, you're right. I'm not. That's why I love God's word so much that I know when he corrects me, it's love. And I just say, bring it on.
Yeah.
Oh, correct me. Jeremiah prayed, Lord, correct me.
Yeah.
You know, I won't go there, but do a study on correction in Proverbs and all the things that talks about people being foolish that won't be corrected and all the things that leads to poverty and it leads to lack and how life gets flipped upside down for people that aren't correctable. It's sad and it's scary. Let's not be like that. Amen?
Amen.
We're just going to tell you what the word is. We're going to do it encouraging and with love, but you need to be good receivers of the word and don't get offended at the word.
Amen.
Don't get offended. The word's not your problem. The devil's your problem. The word's your help. Your pastor's your help. God's your help. Don't be mad at God. Don't be mad at your pastor. Don't be mad at the word. They are all things that are striving for you to get to greatness in your life.
Amen.
It's the devil that wants to take you out. And remember that seducing spirit, doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word this morning. Father, I thank you for the change that we're walking into. Father, we're preparing the ground for that change. And Lord, not that my heart is to go around and pick out things that are wrong with people. That's not what this is about. This is about in times when people are struggling with things, in times when that boldness and that utterance comes on me, to just speak what needs to be said. Father, we love you today. We're so in love with you, Jesus. We just praise you and thank you for the word of God. Where would we be without the word of God? Jesus, you were a bold preacher. You weren't quiet. You got up and just declared things boldly. Why? You knew that was what's going to help people. So, Father, we thank you. We're going to a new level, going to a new realm of glory. We're going to be increased in all areas of our life, Father God. We're not going to feel bad about what the word says. We're going to embrace the word because the word there meant to help us to prosper and to increase. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, I think it's interesting concerning salvation, how bold Jesus was. You hear ministers get on these talk shows with Oprah Winfrey and different things, CNN. And it's like, and again, I'm not judging them because I don't know what that's like. But it's almost like they collapse under the pressure because they say, so you're telling me that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Well, listen, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then he went on to say, no man comes to the Father except they go through me. That was bold back then, and it ticked people off. But he stood right up and declared that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm here to tell you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're listening by live stream, he's the one way to the Father. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you accept him, if you believe he died on the cross, if you believe he rose again, the Bible says you're qualified and a candidate for salvation. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, if you believe he died on the cross and rose again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you raise your hand? Anybody that's never received him before? Father, I don't see any hands. I'm not surprised in this service, but who knows who's listening by live stream? If you're listening by live stream or by the archives in the future, just call on his name. Just simply say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you all have a good rest of the weekend, and we'll see you back here next Sunday, 10 o'clock. You're dismissed. Jesus, no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter